got no home or no place to roam. Ain't got no home or no place to roam. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number or try your call again.
Pardon me, sir.
Yes?
Are you by chance a vicious criminal?
Good afternoon and welcome to Reach Radio. I'm Alan Mason, your host and housing heffy. Here to help you down the dirt road of home ownership. Just a reminder, REACH is the acronym for Real Estate Education and Community Housing. We are a 501(c)(3) not-for-profit corporation assisting homeowners and home buyers reach and maintain the American dream of home ownership. And we do that through education, financial awareness, and monetary assistance. Our mission is placing families in a home, not just a house. The toll-free number for REACH is 855-48-REACH. That's 855-48-REACH. Or 855-487-3224. Or you may visit our website at www.reachforhousing.org. That's reach, the number four, housing.org. REACH counselors tell us you can become a homeowner before the end of this year. To get started, call the good folks at REACH and let the staffers and counselors do what they do best. They have the latest information about how you can benefit from their substantial inventory of South Florida properties. And the best part is, they have the knowledge you need to help you become a homeowner. Coming up on today's show, news at the bottom of the hour with Steve Cody. You know, he covers the news better than Don Rickles' toupee working the crowd at the Shriners Convention. I don't know what that means. And, of course, Reach Radio's Spotlight Home of the Week will show you how the good folks at Reach can make this house your home. But first, let's take a look at South Florida's latest real estate headlines brought to you by reachforhousing.org. Your HUD-approved housing counselor. And now, Reach Radio's consistently random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Steve Cody.
Hello. I have kind of a sneak preview of what's coming up in the news at the on the hour. One of the enduring scandals of the 2008 financial crisis was the government's half-hearted effort to provide relief to distressed homeowners while generously bailing out banks and allowing those that presided over the disaster to collect multi-million dollar bonuses. Well, now, a new report adds another grievance to this catalog of woe. We'll talk about this GAO report. It appears that cash is king in Florida real estate. Get this. Two-thirds of all sales were done in cash in Florida recently. That's amazing. Plus, South Florida lost the title of foreclosure capital of the nation, slipping to second for the most foreclosure filings in the month of November. This according to a new poll from Realty Track. We'll have some other numbers from that poll for you. Speaking of numbers, the discrepancy between appraisers and homeowners' opinions of home values seems to be narrowing. Quicken Loans did a study on that, and we'll have the details. They're saying that it's reassuring to see that the gap between appraisers' opinions and homeowners' opinions seem to be drawing closer and closer.
I want to know how we slipped down to second. That's disappointing.
We'll be back.
Okay. There's another crash coming, right?
There you go, yeah. Florida renters will face swifter evictions from foreclosed homes if a five-year-old federal protection is not renewed by the end of the month. It's a questionable event as Congress is winding down for the year. Also, the standard mileage rate for federal income taxes is rising next year for business use, even though gas prices have gone down quite a lot. Beginning January 1st, the standard mileage rates for a car, truck, or van used for business will be 57.5 cents per mile. And it was become a yearly tradition. Fannie and Freddie said Tuesday they will suspend evictions at foreclosed single-family properties during the holiday season. Nobody gets kicked out until after Christmas. Then you're on your own.
Isn't that sweet?
And yeah, and Bank of America is being forced to hand over more than $1 million to a Florida couple after the bank flooded them with hundreds and hundreds of loan collection phone calls. We'll tell you how they got their $1 million out of that harassment case. And we also have the story of a young married couple who took over a mansion, just moved in, forged their own quitclaim deed, and decided it was theirs. That little fiasco is over. We'll tell you how it ended. That's coming up.
Do they have a new house to live in now?
Well, I don't want to give away the end, but you're close.
I love it when that happens. You have some of the coolest news in the world there, you know. And I'm always glad to have you here.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here.
There you go. Well, when we return, our first guest says she has the answer to holiday hassles and other family arguments around the dinner table. Do you know who said don't raise your voice and prove the argument? No?
It was me.
Oh, no, it was Desmond Tutu.
Oh.
But, hey, you already knew that. All right, so. I love that music, right? Isn't that a good bump music? Good afternoon, folks. Thanks for listening to the Reach Radio Show. We certainly appreciate your company on this wonderful afternoon. And I have a little message for you. If you're thinking about buying a home, if you're a first-time home buyer, then you should be listening to what I have to say right now. If you're using FHA, HUD, and other government programs, you must complete a selected HUD-approved training course in order to qualify for HUD assistance. And you can also receive big discounts from the banks and other approved lenders. Reach offers a litany of workshops and personal one-on-one training sessions designed to assist you in qualifying for home ownership. Reach offers a comprehensive credit management workshop that shows you how to deal with any negative credit issues you may or may not have, helping you get back on a sound credit track. Also, Reach offers free foreclosure and modification counseling, free of charge. Did you get that? No cost to you. Reach also offers an FHA back-to-work counseling and financial budgeting workshops, most at no charge for you. The toll-free number for Reach, I think you know, 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224. All classes are taught in English, Spanish, and Creole. You know, so what are you waiting for? Call the good folks at Reach right now. The toll-free number again, 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224. And remember to press zero for the operator. Don't miss out. Reach out. Well, when we return, Rosalind Sadaka will give us the ins and the outs about arguing around the dinner table. Or the turkey table, or the Christmas pie table, whichever
gobble, gobble.
You want to call it. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Stand by, we will be right back.
Ain't got no home.
Concerned about your future? Don't know how to make it right? How will you get your credit back? Where will your family live? The financial crisis has become very personal. Sleepless nights, not sure how you can hang on. Reach out and let Reach work with you toward financial and housing stability again. The good folks at Reach are waiting for your call. They're a 501c3 HUD-approved organization with a heart. Contact a Reach certified counselor today at 855-48-REACH or email housing at reachforhousing.org. That's Reach, the number 4, housing.org. Check out their webpage and success stories at reachforhousing.org. Call 855-48-REACH. That's 855-487-3224. Email housing at reachforhousing.org. Most of the services are free, so reach out. They'll reach back. 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. Ain't got no home. I know a place to roam.
Bing, pirong. We have our own sound effects department. Hey, this is Reach Radio. This is Alan Mason, your host and housing heffy. And we are here to bring you the latest news and information about the real estate industry and business. And we know that a lot of realtors listen to the show, and we like to say hi to you guys and girls. I know you're out there listening, and we love having you there. Thank you so much. All right. Well, our first guest is the recognized voice of Child Center Divorce. Rosalind Sadaka is a divorce and parenting coach, as well as founder of the Child Center Divorce Network for Parents. She is the author of the internationally acclaimed book, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce?, and co-host of the Divorce View talk show. Rosalind Sadaka, welcome to the Reach Radio Show.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, hey, I understand you're going to help us figure out how to stop arguing around the dinner table when the relatives come over for the holidays.
Well, I'm going to focus when you're dealing especially with divorce and issues where your families are in crisis, because that makes it more complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that just pours a little more gasoline onto the fire. I mean, if you get relatives around, and if they're politically minded or religious minded, I'm sure that the arguments will start. What's the best way to avoid all that stuff? Then we'll get into the divorce part of it, because I know that's just, that's like adding more fire.
Yes, the best way is to remember this is a short time, one day, a few hours, and bite your tongue, and remember diplomacy. Remember that these family members have connections with you that'll last a lifetime, and so it's better to be diplomatic about what you say and what you don't say, and pick your battles.
Well, you know, you always have that one uncle or aunt or somebody that's really politically minded, and before you know it, something comes up in the political arena, and it starts off as, well, yeah, that's what you think. Well, yeah, that's what I think. And then 10 minutes later, they're beating each other up. How do you stop that?
Well, what you do is you know those people in advance. You prepare in advance, and you have ways of changing the subject matter into another topic entirely. And be creative. If you think in advance, you could say something like, I know we don't agree about that, but I bet we both agree about the Jets or whatever it is, and then move into another realm entirely. Because we're much better off getting, why reinvent and recreate the same hassles from year after year after year? It's much smarter to start fresh and new. We know who the troublemakers are, and it's up to us. Yeah. To make a difference in how the situation turns out, because they'll never do it.
That's true. And how uncomfortable must it be when there's a divorce involved? So now you've got a couple of mommies and a daddy, or a couple of daddies and a mommy, and the children are confused. I don't know about the rest of the relatives, but I'm sure the kids would be wondering, what do I do next?
Well, the holidays are particularly stressful for families that are coping with divorce, especially when it's new. Very often we don't have mom and dad and both sides of relatives at the same table, but we have the dynamic of who's getting the kids for this day or this hour, and are the families going to be battling over it? So you really have to plan that as much in advance as possible. And there are no rules. The rules are do what's best for your family. If mom and dad can be together and spend an hour or two with the kids, wonderful. If not, then you want the transitions between homes to be as smooth as possible. And you have to remember that the holidays especially are for the children. And we rob the children of the joy of the experience of the holidays if we're fighting around them, if there's tension, if we're creating conflict. We need to keep our innocent children out of the conflict and let them enjoy the pleasures of the holiday season.
Yeah, I can see how that would go around my house. Okay, kids, go outside. Now, your parents want to argue. So I like the idea about changing the subject. That's probably good advice right there. So maybe you should maybe think of a couple subjects ahead of time so that when the political issue or, hey, you know, it could be a football issue too. You got some Jets fans and you got some, I know this guy sitting next to me here is a Patriots fan. He's got these... this funny shirt on that says the Patriots, but that would start an argument right there in my house. How do you avoid that? I mean, how many subjects do you have to avoid? Is there something better that might work? Or
yeah, all you need is to have one or two subjects that you know are going to work with that particular individual. You know, these are repetitive problems. It's not like they're starting from scratch the first time around. So we can be very careful in who we talk to and how, and make changes in the conversation. Be curt and short with the person who isn't respectful to you and turn in another direction and speak to someone else. But when it comes to the children, we have to be very, very careful to avoid inflicting tension on them, asking them uncomfortable questions, making them the butt of uncomfortable jokes and things like that. Parents have to be responsible for protecting the kids. And many of the kids are especially sensitive at this time of year because there may be traditions that are no longer taking place. We're used to opening the gifts at this time. We're used to having dinner at that time. We're used to always having this meal. Now situations are changing, and we have to be very flexible about creating new traditions and having an attitude that says, well, there's all kinds of changes. What if we did this instead? What if we visited new friends instead? What if we tried this new recipe? And open the door to starting new traditions for the children in the two different households, because that'll make life easier for them
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing questions, not demands. That seems to be a good path to take, right?
Yeah. Well, demands never work. We, you know, as adults, we need to be flexible in life, and we need to be including the children as much as possible in changes and say, how about if we try this? What if we go and do this to make the afternoon special and open the door to new possibilities?
And new thinking. Let me ask you this. Say I'm divorced and I've got my daughter with me and I'm going over to the ex-wife's house for a holiday dinner. What kind of prep talk should I have with my child? What should I say to my child?
You want to talk to them in advance about the holidays, and you want to listen rather than lecturing and let them vent about their feelings, their regrets, their frustrations. Obviously, kids don't like the idea that a divorce has been inflicted on them. And so we need to acknowledge that what they're feeling is okay and understandable and allow them to vent and be aware that some kids hold their feelings in order to protect you as a parent. And so we want to give them permission to just say what they need to say. And instead of making it wrong, just say, I understand how you feel. I know this is very difficult for you. What if we tried this, and what if we tried that? Would that make you feel better? And start creating wonderful new memories and traditions with the kids rather than inflicting, include them as part of the decision-making so that they feel that they have some power and some place in how we're creating the new holidays. And make sure they're able to call their other parents on the phone or Skype with them, or do FaceTime on the computer so that the other parent is included. And don't forget that that other parent can be feeling very, very alone as well. Suddenly they're spending days without the children, and that can be very depressing and frustrating for a parent of divorce, especially the first year around.
Agreed. All right, listen, we have to take a short break. You mind hanging on through the break? It's only going to be a minute or so.
Okay.
Great, appreciate that. When we return, Rosalind Sadaka gives us the final word when it comes to settling the biggest argument your family's Christmas dinner table has ever heard. You know, they say it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. We say it's faster when it's charged, but the extension cord is only 6 feet long. So what are you going to do?
I know Blaze is wrong. Right. Ain't got no home.
Making home affordable, MHA can help you. Do you know your options? Reach is ready to help to make your home affordable. You may be able to lower your payment. You may be unemployed and need help. You may owe more on your house than it's worth. Or your home is no longer affordable and you want a way out. Get real help today and real answers. Contact Reach, your HUD-approved housing counselor, and learn more about Making Home Affordable, MHA, and how you can be helped. Email Reach at housing@reachforhousing.org. Reach the number 4 housing.org. Our phone number is 855-48-REACH. MHA. Let's make your home affordable today. Don't miss out. Reach out. Email housing@reachforhousing.org. Reach the number 4 housing.org. Call Reach at 855-48-REACH. 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home. I know place wrong. Ain't got no home. I know face wrong.
Ooh, hey, welcome back to Reach Radio. I'm Alan Mason, your host and housing heffy. Rejoining us on the phone right now is Rosalind Sadaka. She's recognized as the voice of child-centered divorce. And she's a divorce and parenting coach, as well as founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Networks for Parents. Rosalind, thanks so much for hanging on through the break. You didn't get into an argument with Steve while you were on the break there, did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay, because I know the answer to that. He likes pumpkin pie. So we're at the right season for that. All right, just before we were talking about what happens when there's a divorce and you have the holidays to attend and all that, and what about the parents that have to put their child on an airplane and send them to another city and they're gone for the holidays? How do they cope with that?
That's really tough. So they could be creative and stay connected with kids. For example, you could create a journal of your holiday activities and share it with the kids when you see them next, or send them emails about that. You could have a travelogue of places you visited, take short videos and send send them from your phone to their phone.
Now, let me interject something here. Now, you said send emails and all that. Is it appropriate for email and text communications to going on? Say you put your daughter on a plane and she flies to another city, but you're texting her every 5 seconds. And
every 5 seconds is not appropriate, but both parents should allow the kids contact with the other parent, because you have to remember that you're still a family, and it's very important for the kids to have access to both parents. So send a text message of the day with a theme, the staying warm tip of the day, or the best TV show choice of the day, or favorite candy bar of the day, so you have that contact. Or you could make plans to see the same movie as your kids on the same day, and then call that evening and discuss it with the kids. That way you're staying together.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's good for parents to step out of their self-focus and do something generous. Join a toy distribution or a holiday meal drive or something where you're giving of yourself, working in an animal shelter. Give to the less fortunate, and it's very therapeutic to help you get over the possible depression and feeling alone. When we give and do for others, we actually feel better. It boosts our spirits, and it helps us get out of the doldrums and sad feelings. So think out of the box in healthy ways, and your kids will appreciate you, and you'll also get away with less sadness and depression than otherwise.
Okay. You know what we didn't do, and I apologize for this, we didn't give your website out. Let me do that right now. If you would like to gander some more information about how to act during the holidays and divorce in general, then check out Rosalind's website. It's www.childcenteredivorce.com. That's www.childcenteredivorce.com. And I'm sure you have a lot of interesting facts and information on the site, right?
Tons of free information, a free ebook, guidance, suggestions, expert tips. It's all there in one place.
All right. Is there a phone number that you want to give out, or you just want to let them
know?
Yes,
they could call 561-742-3537 for additional information as well, and coaching services.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you do that too.
Yes.
Hey, I have a family member that I'd love for you to coach. You know what he told me? He's a crazy uncle. He said he wanted to be strapped to a Thanksgiving table while a family of chickens argue over who's going to eat his legs.
The ultimate fantasy.
Now, what would you say to a nutcase like that, huh?
Well, you know, we need to really practice our tolerance, because every family has a nutcase, and we pick our battles. And also, you know, if you acknowledge someone first before you dispute them, they're much more likely to hear you. If you say, well, I can understand how you feel that way, even if you don't agree, and then you could state the way you feel about it, it keeps the door open to communication rather than putting them on the defensive. So that's a very good way to deal with hostile people.
Well, I don't know if he's hostile. I think he's just crazy. But, you know, like you say, every family's got one. And, you know, I know you mentioned earlier in the first segment that traditions can change. And I believe what we were talking about there is what you go to another family's dinner, you got the divorce, you have to separate up and wind up at someone else's house for dinner, and they may not serve the same way that you're used to serving. How do you get that point across to the kids? Don't panic if things are going to be a little different. How's that work?
Yes, well, it's very important for parents to let children know that change is an important part of life. Adults don't get that, but it's important for children to learn it, because everything changes in life. We change the seasons, our hairstyles, fashion changes, our grades in school, our sports. So if kids learn to be flexible and understand that things are going to change anyway in life, we can't hold on to what we want no matter what, it gives them a strong ability to cope with life's challenges no matter what they are. We should never be too rigid, because no one can keep things the way they want, and things will inevitably change, the good as well as the bad. So showing them that different people do things differently and we need to be flexible and open and not resist everything is a great way of arming our kids with a life skill that'll take them right through adulthood. And all of us as adults need to remember that change is inevitable. Don't fight it.
Well, that's what Obama said, but I don't know. Anyway, let me ask another question. This is sort of like on the subject line, but a little off. What about when a parent tries to use the kid as a pick? And I would imagine on the holiday season, they probably ramp that up a little bit. The child is being used by one parent to communicate to another parent. You know, did your mom say this? Did your dad do that? Or that kind of, how do you stop that? That's got to be
one of the biggest mistakes parents can make, because it puts children in an awkward position of being a messenger or being a pawn, and the kids feel it, and they feel so torn and guilty, because kids naturally love both mom and dad.
Right.
So when you're doing that, you are harming your children emotionally and psychologically, and you have to understand that it isn't fair to your children. They don't want to be choosing between mom and dad. It's much easier for you to say, mom and dad, discuss this, and we've decided A is happening and then B is happening, rather than asking the kids to choose sides or to be a messenger. There are scheduling calendars online that'll take care of all the scheduling details of divorce and co-parenting.
Oh, yeah, good idea, yeah.
Coparently.com. And when parents put all that information in the scheduling tools, it reduces conflict and it eliminates a lot of the challenges that happen on a day-to-day basis. So life is smoother for the parents and smoother for the children. So I highly recommend a co-parenting schedule tool like Coparently.
There you go. You know, I tried that with my kid, and he wanted money, so I don't know. Again, thank you, Roz, for joining us on the show today. Their website, again, is www.childcenteredDivorce.com, or you may call Roz at 561-742-3537. We certainly appreciate you taking your time and coming in on a Saturday there.
Thank you, Al.
You bet. All right, we're about to launch the second half of the Reach Radio Show directly after the news. The Reach Radio staffers have stumbled across some interesting reasons why you might want to consider purchasing your home in December or January. Coming up after that, Reach Radio Spotlight Home of the Week will show you how this house can become your home. Of course, then our house segment features Reach Radio's resident pest control freak, Carlton Thompson. He makes the Pied Piper look like an amateur flute player at a Banji woodblock band, I'm telling you. And finally, as the end of the year approaches, so is the beginning of the next. So stay tuned for the top 10 New Year's resolutions people break first. But right now, live from the Electronic Palace, Reach Radio's real estate news at the bottom of the hour with our effervescent news guy, Steve Cody.
Why, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
It seems that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will again start putting money into affordable housing funds created by Congress more than 6 years ago, officially called Government-Sponsored Enterprises, or GSEs. Fannie and Freddie's federal regulator, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, says the GSEs are finally fiscally stable enough to capitalize the National Housing Trust Fund. On November 13th of 2008, the FHFA announced a temporary suspension of the Fannie and Freddie funding programs after taxpayers bailed them out during the financial crisis. The directive by the FHFA and Director Mel Watt says that it would help people across the nation to secure a decent place to call home. According to HUD Secretary Julian Castro, FHFA sent letters to Fannie and Freddie outlining the just-announced changes that are now posted online for everyone to see. South Florida has lost the title of foreclosure capital of the nation, slipping to second place for the most foreclosure filings in November. This according to RealtyTrack. One out of every 394 houses in the Tri-County area had a foreclosure filing in November. Only Atlantic City, New Jersey, which had been hit hard by casino closures, was worse, with one filing for every 289 homes. Jacksonville was third. Palm Bay, Melbourne was fourth. Orlando was the fifth worst. The good news for South Florida is that foreclosure filings declined 22% to about 6.2% compared to November of 2013. The discrepancy between the appraisers and the homeowners' opinion of home values seems to be narrowing. In November, appraisers valued a home at 1.56% higher than the homeowners did, according to Quicken Loans Home Price Perception Index. Quicken Loans chief economist Bob Walters called it reassuring to see that the gap between appraiser opinions and homeowner opinions is drawing closer. On a national scale, real estate professionals reported fewer appraisal issues as the cause of derailed deals. Realtors blamed appraisals for only about 2% of failure to close deals. Instead, the top closing challenges cited by realtors: difficulty obtaining credit and a lack of affordable homes. About 15% of realtors cited clients who could not obtain financing, while about 13% say the buyer and the seller could not agree on a price. Florida renters will face swifter evictions from foreclosed homes if a five-year-old federal protection is renewed by the end of the month. And that's a questionable event, as Congress is not getting much done at all. The Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act was approved in 2009 as the housing crisis escalated and renters were increasingly being surprised by eviction notices, unaware that the home they were living in was in foreclosure and had actually been repossessed. The act requires new owners to honor the length of the tenant's lease, or, if there is no lease, to give them a 90-day notice to vacate the home. While some states have enacted similar legislation that can kick in if the act sunsets, Florida has not done that. The standard mileage rate for federal income taxes is rising next year for business use, even though gas prices have gone down quite a bit. Beginning on January 1st, the standard mileage rate for the use of a car, van, or pickup will be 57.5 cents per mile for business miles. That's an increase from 56 in 2014. The rates go into effect for the 2015 calendar year, making them applicable for deductions on 2015 taxes. At the same time, the IRS released the higher per mile rate. A separate government agency, the U.S. Department of Energy, released its prediction for the price of gas next year. It's estimated that gas prices will likely average about $2.60 a gallon next year. That's the lowest full-year average since 2009. In what's become a yearly tradition, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac said Tuesday that they'll suspend evictions at foreclosed single-family properties during the holiday season. People will be allowed to stay in foreclosed properties, including houses and condos, from December 15th through January 2nd. But both companies said that legal and administrative proceedings for the evictions may continue during that period. The moratorium will not affect foreclosure activities before or after those dates. Bank of America is being forced to hand over more than $1 million to a Florida couple after the bank flooded them with hundreds of loan collection calls for years, the latest example of alleged behavior that has cost the bank tens of millions of dollars. In a complaint filed in July, attorneys for Nelson and Joyce Coniglio said that the couple had been on the receiving end of what they called patterns of outrageous, abusive, and harassing conduct by a subsidiary of Bank of America that included 700 calls in 4 years. After the bank said the couple they fell behind on their mortgage loan payment in 2009, the Consiglios also received what they called threatening collection letters asserting false and misleading information. The complaint said in the end of the judgment, the judge awarded the couple $1,051,000. That's approximately $1,500 for every harassing phone call they got, in addition to court costs and attorney fees.
Of course.
And finally, a young married couple attempted to take over an estate valued at well over $1 million in Keystone Heights in Clay County, according to the Clay County Sheriff's Office. Authorities say the couple, Justin and Jenna Dean, removed and replaced the locks on the doors. Then they moved into the mansion. The couple filed forged documents and a bogus quitclaim deed on the foreclosed property. While the home was languishing in foreclosure since 2011, unpurchased and little or no interest in it, the Deans kind of picked the wrong time to pretend they bought it, because less than a month after they allegedly faked the documents saying that the Deans bought the house, a couple from Ohio actually bought it for real. The alleged squatters surrendered to police. They have been released on bond.
Whoops.
And
okay,
that's the end of that story.
Well, they might be having a new house then. Who knows?
After the trial, we'll see. They may get
a house
with bars.
It's a barred house. Let's go bar hopping. I can't believe people are clever enough to do this, yet stupid enough to think that they can get away with it.
There was nothing clever here, nothing at all.
Well, yeah, how many times...
The documents were so obviously false that the fonts didn't even match.
So they don't know how to use Photoshop.
No, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Hey, that'll learn you. All right. Well, our crack Reach Radio staffers have once again adorned us with the wise advice and clever thinking. They say that buying a home in December or January may save you some money. Rick, our show producer, has compiled a list of
things.
Stuff.
Yeah, we got some good stuff here, too. December is usually when people are looking to deck their own halls, but not buy new ones. buying a home in December or January may be a smart move. Savvy home buyers should be looking around, taking advantage of this time if they're really serious about buying.
Well, why would that be?
Well, Alan, mortgage rates are low right now. They're higher than they were 6 months ago. They may be going up again and higher than they were last March. Now, the price increases that were common in larger markets like Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, and Orlando are slowing those sales. So even Atlanta, which had an average 19% increase last year, is showing signs of cooling off. Things are starting to level out a little bit. Reach Radio researchers say the holidays are no time for hibernation if you're looking to buy a home. Good time to do it.
Well, we just heard that Florida now slipped down to number two in foreclosures.
Right.
And we got to get that up, folks. Come on. What do you like? What do you like about, or what do you call the law? You say there's a law in December and January.
Law.
What do you mean by that?
One of my favorite words. Well, there's
Shopping at the law.
Well, there's no competition. People are buying gifts. They're going to the mall during the lull. They're talking about a real estate lull. Ah. So people are not only shopping, but they're traveling. So a lot of deals have been wrapped up already, or people have put off looking until after the new year. And this is important. Homes are being sold every day. They're on the market, but there just aren't as many people looking for them. This is an advantage to buyers. Be out there looking.
So if it's a slow season, doesn't that mean that the inventory will be lower?
Well, not necessarily. The inventory is what it is. The sellers are motivated, though. These are likely the homes that, for whatever reason, haven't been sold right now. The sellers will want to get this deal done. It's the end of the year. Tax purposes are involved.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the taxes.
Right. It's the end of the year. They want to tie up loose ends. This is an advantage, again, for buyers, especially if there are points to negotiate.
Yeah. Would other key people in the equation, such as realtors and mortgage brokers, also be scarce? I mean, it's the holidays. They don't want to work, right?
Realtors love to work. They love to do business, and they get a lot of business done because the people who are out looking are generally serious buyers. And as a buyer, your broker will have more time to focus on you. That's what you want.
Well, that's true. If you're out there looking to buy a home and it's Christmas Eve.
It's quiet for them, and this is a good time. You want them focused on you. Now, you may not be able to close before the end of the year. I think that's a pretty good bet at this point. But it's a good time to get something under contract and start the ball rolling.
Hmm. I guess a homeowner might miss or overlook something when buying in the dead of the winter, or as we say, in the still of the night.
Well, we don't have to worry about the dead of winter here because this is about it. You know, it's, we're not going to have to schlep up through the snow-covered driveway. But it is a test for a home since all the big systems, such as heating, plumbing, the roof, and gutters, are definitely put to the test, even here. Some of the curb appeal may be gone with all that snow that's out there. Landscaping is a lot less expensive, especially in the winter here. And you want to find out that everything is working in the home.
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of waste companies in South Florida that offer free snow removal.
I've noticed that. It's a great thing. Yeah, very smart.
All right. Would a slow winter market be a prime time for investors, or maybe just for home buyers?
Well, you know what? Investors are home buyers, and they're looking for fresh properties, often things that aren't even on the market yet. They know their way around in there. The chances of getting outbid by an investor during a winter house hunt is unlikely. Few brand new properties come on the market this time of year, so the investors are not out there circling.
Well, I would think that if you have any questions or you're not too sure of exactly what to do during the December-January season, you might want to call Reach.
Reach?
Yeah.
Tell me about Reach, Alan.
855. I want to get that number out, right? It's 855-48-REACH, 855-48-REACH, or 855-487-3224. When buying a home, a good broker is an incredibly valuable resource, especially if it's your first time. You know, Reach has those first-time home buyer workshops. You might want to pay attention to those. They serve as the realtors serve as a good guide to the neighborhood because they are there and they know what's going on and they're into the home buying process, which can sometimes get complicated. That's why we have Reach. If it gets complicated, just call the good folks at Reach. You know the number. They know that mortgage brokers, inspectors, and sometimes even the listings that the rest of the public doesn't have, they have. And Reach is also ahead of that game.
You know, Alan is one of the people that answers the phone at Reach.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that amazes me the most is that people consistently underestimate their own qualifications.
Oh, yes.
There are so many different ways for you to buy a home these days that most of us are not aware of, but the people at Reach know all about them. So if you think you're not qualified, even if last year you tried to buy a house and they told you you weren't qualified, the standards have changed. The banking standards have changed. The way the government helps people to get into homes has also changed. There's a lot of different ways to help you get into a home. So if you're thinking about buying a home, especially if you're a first-time home buyer, like Alan said, you should call Reach and find out. You may be way more qualified than you think you are.
So. What's their number again? Good old Reach.
Oh, it's 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224. And you can call them right now. Just press zero for the operator to make sure you get past all the answering machine stuff on the weekend.
Alan, just to wrap this segment up, mm-hmm. I just want to have a slight opinion here.
You're going to wrap it up? Is it a present?
Well, could be. Could be. People like to consider themselves armchair experts when it comes to real estate.
Sure.
But that business is nuanced, best navigated by a pro. Those real estate agents are licensed. They have to pass exams. They know what they're doing. We've spoken to agents around the country, and we get some of their best insights, things they're probably too polite to say around clients to help you better negotiate the home buying process. But the people at Reach are really the ultimate answer. And you know, Steve, you talked about Reach. There's no charge for a lot of their services.
Absolutely not.
Whoa. So this is where to go. And I think Alan is going to send us to the Spotlight Home of the Week right now.
That's right. It's time for this week's Spotlight Home of the Week, brought to you by Pat Tracy and Associates. Their phone number, 561-351-8000. You know what I'd like for you to do? I'd like you to pick up the phone right now and call 561-351-8000. Just say hello to Pat and ask her about this cool property that we have up in Port St. Lucie. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath home with a 2-car garage. Folks, this house is huge, and it's beautiful. It's the latest architecture, and it's been totally redone from the ground up, right down to the studs. Everything is brand new and up to code. The floors, the walls are all new, freshly painted, along with a new refrigerator, microwave, a range, dishwasher. It's a great location, and it's ready to move into if you like the Port St. Lucie area. It's ready to occupy. 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 2-car garage. I mean, it's right for the person who has the right down payment. I can tell you this, it's just in time for Christmas. It's under $200,000, and there is a bonus to the selling agents of $5,000 if you get the contract in before Christmas. Now, we just got through talking about buying a house during December and January. Right, Rick?
There you go. Yep. Absolutely. And here's a perfect example of this.
And this is the perfect deal. If you go on the website, reachradioshow.com, and take a look at our house, you can see this. It's a beautiful house. It's been totally redone. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a real estate salesman here, but I've seen this place, and it's really, really nice. You know who to call to find out? Pat Tracy. Her number, 561-351-8000. The address, if you want to Google this, is 957 Southwest California Boulevard in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The zip code, Google loves that zip code, 34953. 34953. And again, the address, 957 Southwest California Boulevard in Port St. Lucie. And that will be this week's Spotlight Home of the Week.
Thank you for that, Alan. And I know you have some thank yous as well.
Yes, I'd like to thank you for joining us every Saturday. Good news, folks. We're here. We're here for you. And we thank you for listening. We'd also like to give a hat tip out to the Gulfstream Masonic Lodge and their annual toy drive. We had Santa on the show a couple of weeks ago. And today, they are dropping off all the toys at the Walmart in Delray Beach, just south of Linton on Military Trail. Santa will be there in about 15 minutes. He starts at 1 o'clock. Ho, ho, ho. That's exactly right. And he's one of the coolest-looking Santas I've ever seen. I could tell you that for sure. All right, now let's move into this cool little segment here. This is our house.
We're going to talk about realtors now.
That's right. You know, Carlton couldn't call in.
Right.
He's I guess he's out in the Egypt, somewhere in somewhere, okay. somewhere
beyond killing off those big scarab beetles.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
You know, REACH counselors and affiliated realtors think out of the box, Alan, because they see things a little bit differently than most. We dug up a list of the top 10 things many realtors won't tell you.
Okay, well then what's number one?
Steve has the list. Unfortunately, I'm going to take a minute out here to produce the show.
Oh.
But Steve has all the answers.
The number one thing
is
that realtors really love somebody who is pre-qualified. Now, what that means is if you've been pre-approved for a mortgage, you know exactly how much you can put down and you understand the debt-to-income ratio, then any broker will be more than happy to spend a day or a night finding you the perfect home. If you're just getting your feet wet, though, to either rent or to buy a new place and you don't quite have the cash to start the process, then don't call a realtor yet. Go to open houses as opposed to a private outing with a broker. Open houses are designed to let people look and to ask questions without wasting a broker's time. Now, along the way, you may find a broker that you want to work with who can get you into specifics for your budget and your needs and when you're ready to pull the trigger on that new house. It'd be a good idea to call REACH. They'll handle most of that for you for a little or no charge, and you can call them right away. The number is 855-48-REACH. That's 855-48-REACH. Generally speaking, a broker is going to ask you up front if you've been pre-approved for a loan or not. If you haven't, they might ask you to call back when you have all your paperwork together. There's a good reason for that. A realtor's time is money. Brokers work on commission, so it's not very cost-effective to work with people that aren't serious about buying or renting a place in the immediate future. Brokers try to pre-screen everybody on the phone. Like, when are you looking to move? Have you spoken to a mortgage broker yet? Have you been pre-qualified? They want to make sure that their time with their clients is spent wisely, and you can help with that pre-qualification and being ready to answer those questions. Also, it's not a buyer's market anymore. After the financial crisis of 08, there were definitely deals to be had, but the economy's recovered quite a bit, and housing inventory is tightening up, especially in big cities like New York and San Francisco and Atlanta. Somebody may or may not be thrilled at your lowball offer, so be realistic when it comes to making offers. Also, aggressive negotiation will
get you nowhere. I like that.
They're saying it will get you nowhere.
Ooh, that's where I've been going wrong.
Yep. They say this tends to be more common in men than it is in women, but there's no reason to start negotiating with a wildly lowball offer to, you know, make outrageous demands. I'll give you 50 cents for your house.
Yeah. Do you think that's just the flea market attitude? Or is
that... It could be. It could be. Or they're watching too much reality shows about pawn shops and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love those guys.
But basically, most realtors would tell their clients that at the end of the day, consider what is this house actually worth. The idea that you should never pay the asking price is not realistic, especially when the inventory is tight. Sometimes the house is worth exactly what the price they're asking for, and it's okay to pay that price. There's no rule against it. And number five on this list is, just because information is on the internet doesn't mean it's true. Wait, let's do this again.
Where'd you get this?
Information is on the internet doesn't mean it's true.
Where did you get that information?
From the internet.
Okay. Just checking.
Seriously, apartment hunting horror stories are the stuff of cocktail party legend. And in places like West Palm Beach, many of these stories start on Craigslist. Of course, that's a no-fee rental listing. It turns out to have huge brokerage fees attached to it, or the owner you meet really is just some guy who wants you to give him some cash on the spot. He doesn't own the place at all. These things happen. Home prices can vary wildly by just a few blocks. If there's one house that's priced low because it's right next to the interstate, that's going to throw off the algorithm for the whole area. The only way to really know what homes cost is to go to open houses and see for yourself what is available. And those are the top five.
That's sound advice. Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it. Yeah. Well, when we return, Pat Tracy, the executive director of REACH, is on the phone with some very, very important information. And we'll also tell you about the top 10 New Year's resolutions that fail, just in case you wanted to know what they are. Ding.
Ain't got no home, I know place to roam. Ain't got
making home affordable. MHA can help you. Do you know your options? REACH is ready to help to make your home affordable. You may be able to lower your payment. You may be unemployed and need help. You may owe more on your house than it's worth. Or your home is no longer affordable and you want a way out. Get real help today and real answers. Contact Reach, your HUD-approved housing counselor, and learn more about Making Home Affordable, MHA, and how you can be helped. Email Reach at housing@reachforhousing.org. Reach, the number 4, housing.org. Our phone number is 855-48-REACH. MHA, let's make your home affordable today. Don't miss out. Reach out. Email housing@reachforhousing.org. Reach, the number 4, housing.org. Call Reach at 855-48-REACH. 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home, I know lady wrong. Ain't got no home, I know face wrong.
Welcome back to Reach Radio. I'm Alan Mason, your host and housing jefe. And joining us on the phone right now is the executive director of Reach, Pat Tracy. Pat, you're out on a Saturday. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I thought you were going to forget me today, Alan.
Oh, how could we possibly do that? I have a list of the top 10 things that people break in their New Year's resolution, and I figured you'd probably at least add two more, right?
Oh, I'll let you cover that in just a minute. But I wanted to bring to everyone's attention the Mortgage Cancellation Relief Act of 2007. Do you know what that is, Alan?
No, I don't.
Okay, you know, all of these individuals that have had a short sale or had their part of their principal forgiven, unless a bill is passed by the end of the year, could actually have those funds taxed.
Oh.
So what we are trying to do would be very sad to give them something in one hand and then have to pay about 25% tax on the other hand on that money, because obviously principal reduction or getting your short sale done is because you don't have, you're underwater or you don't have funds.
Right.
So I had written to Patrick Murphy, and I thought I would just read a letter to our group so that you could all be aware, and you could, he is co-sponsoring H.R. 2788, the Mortgage Forgiveness Relief Tax Act, which will carry that forgiveness, which was in place last year, through 2015.
Okay.
If it is not approved, people who had this done in 2014 will owe tax. So it's very important, and this is what he says. Of course, thank you for contacting me, and this is a very concerning issue and is hurting the middle class and holding back Florida's housing recovery. As you know, Americans have lost trillions of dollars in home equity as a result of the financial crisis. Many underwater homeowners are forced to turn to short sales rather than face foreclosure. Without mortgage cancellation relief, which expired December 31, 2013, homeowners are now going to face a large tax burden as the forgiven loan balance after a short sale or modification now counts as taxable income. Taxing families who are forced out of their homes by a financial crisis on Wall Street is unacceptable and kicks struggling families while they are down. I'm incredibly concerned about this and what it will mean to the families in the Palm Coast and Treasure Coast, in Palm Beach and the Treasure Coast. While we are seeing real recovery, an estimated 40% of Florida homeowners remain underwater on their mortgages. Short sales, while not ideal, offer homeowners the ability to avoid foreclosure. And for that reason, he is co-sponsoring H.R. 2788, the Mortgage Forgiveness Tax Relief Act, which would extend the 2007 through 2015. And this bill is currently before the House Committee on Ways and Means, and he is looking to give relief. So if you have any input to any of your members of Congress, please support H.R. 2788. It'll be very important to all your friends, neighbors, and to the people we serve.
And that's the Mortgage Relief Act of 2007?
Mortgage Forgiveness Tax Relief Act. It was first put in place in 2007, and they wait every year to make it go back and cover the following year. So it actually expired in 2013. So anything that was done in 2014, unless it is approved will become taxable, and that is so important to our people right now. So really, we need to support H.R. 2788.
And you could go to Google or Yahoo or Bing and just Google H.R. 2788, Mortgage Tax Relief Act, and I'm sure all sorts of information will come up. And what if they can't find anything? Who should they call? They should call REACH at 855-48-REACH.
We'll put them on, but contact your members of Congress, those people in Washington, and this is where we do need this act approved again so that people are not taxed on these funds they never really had.
Right. We'll put that up on the website so folks can take a look at that, too. This is an important deal. You're right. You're talking about more taxes, more money, and if you don't get this thing passed, you're going to be paying more.
Alan, I'm going to forward you the letter just now so that you can put it up, okay?
I certainly will do that. All right, that's about all the time left to us today. We will get to those top 10 New Year's resolutions that people fail next week, I promise. Tune in and listen to that. Check out our website at reachradioshow.com. That's where all the Reach Radio archives are stored, and you may look at our Spotlight Home of the Week there. Hat tip to Evan Richmond. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for all the good things you do, brother. See you next week, live from noon to 1.
Ain't got no home. I know phase wrong. I'm a lonely boy.